You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
S to the A to the L to the Isha. Some call me Sally, others call me Seisha. If you don't like it, I'm gonna have to beat ya. Nah, I'm just kidding, y'all. Y'all, Y-A-double-L. I bet you all thought that Salisha couldn't spell, but now you know. And I got to go. Hey, it's time for the Salisha Show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Salisha Show. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. And you guys, today is a very special day. We are in the midst of previews. We're about to open this new musical. And so I've got a couple of the busiest people on the planet right now as my guests. And I'm so honored. Before I give you a little rundown of some of the things that they've done, I just have to say, like, when I got this audition, I got a call back for Once Upon a One More Time. I wanted to see, okay, it's a dance call. Who's going to be in the room? Let me just do a little bit of research so I know what we're working with here. And I looked up our choreographer, directors. I'm like, I don't come from the dance world. I'm like, Keone and Mari, who are they? I got maybe two sentences in and I had to stop. Because I'm like, oh no, I can't know anything more. I will be so intimidated that either I just won't be myself at the audition or I just won't go. So I'm like, you know what? I've seen enough. I know that they're amazing and we're just gonna leave it at that. And fast forward, here we are in the flesh. You guys, when I tell you we're dealing with the real deal here, it is truly from my heart. And something really special that I'm finding, that the higher up you go and the more people you work with who've done a lot of things, it's funny how chill these two are, especially in high pressure situations. Their heart is so big and they lead with love. They could be mean and intimidating if they wanted to be, and they are not. So I'm just so excited to share them with you this morning. Okay. Here's a couple of things that they've done. This is very summed up, just so that you know. Disney's animated short, Us Again. They've choreographed and starred in music videos for Justin Bieber, BTS, Billie Eilish, Ed Sheeran, Flying Lotus, and Kendrick Lamar. Nominations for Best Choreo at the MTV Music Video Awards and the UK Video Music Awards. This is on their website. I'm like, I can't read anything else. Cirque, World of Dance, So You Think You Can Dance, Dancing with the Stars, Netflix, Nike, you guys, the list goes on and on. Timberland, Beats by Dre, several K-pop artists, viral videos, and their online work has amassed over billions of views. It is my honor and privilege to introduce to you guys today the director and choreographers for the new Britney Spears musical, Once Upon a One More Time, Keone and Mari Madrid!
Wow, what an intro.
Oh my gosh,
you guys.
Can you just intro us at every event that we go to from now on? Oh my gosh.
I love you guys so much. And it's so cool to like get to know you over this. How are you guys today?
Oh.
We're good today.
Good, yeah. I woke up early. I went to the gym. I listened to music I love. I cooked. I did
this week.
And it has not been like that for a few months.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm good too. It's opening week. Things are much, much more calm.
Right.
Around these parts and getting much more time in with our daughter. So if...
Has Nima been here the whole time?
Yeah, she's been here. She's been with us. We went to New York in September. And obviously she's been with us the whole time and she's been just... We're just so proud of her for dealing with this whole thing. And it's
she's
been a lot,
so
but... Yeah.
We're like in the midst of a lot of things and I'm like, oh my goodness, how is this process for you now versus when we started before the pandemic? Does it feel different?
Yeah, it definitely feels different. Before the pandemic, we only got halfway through rehearsals in the studio. So obviously we've gotten much further. We've gotten to experience new things and been pushed a lot. And also just being part of theater coming back and with the pandemic still happening, trying to manage that with everybody and be in bubbles and COVID testing and all of the things that are coming along with working again in the performing arts during this time. But I think there's ultimately, I know it could be a burden. You could think, look at it as a burden, but I think instead we've just been so grateful to just be working, to be able to share what we love to do. It would be with people.
It's outweighs
everything.
All of that was, taken away from all of us. And I think there's just a newer sense of gratitude. And in that, gratitude of being around people again and being in front of audiences, with us being inside the audiences again. And I think for the most part, that's probably, the biggest change from it's just the perspective now is different.
Right.
And I think everyone has a better sense of who they are as people.
I feel that way.
Yeah, and to collectively bring that energy into a room is always going to be a recipe for some positive experience to come out of that.
During the pandemic, did you guys... Okay, because I know for me personally, I was like, all right, I have time to memorize this whole binder if I want to. But then there was a point when I'm like, wait, when are we coming back? Mm-hmm. Are we coming back? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even look at it because I was afraid to open my heart up and then possibly get that door shut again. Were you guys mulling over it? Were you like diving into it? Did you set it aside? How did you guys deal with that?
For the most part, we set it aside. And I think it was the uncertainty.
Right.
We had a lot of conversations with the producers about what the plan was. And so we had a bigger picture of, okay, we have time. And what we did over the pandemic was really just sharpen our skills as storytellers and directors. And we feel like we feel much better as choreographers because that's what we've been doing as our career. But with getting into directing for the first time and just storytelling more often, that's what we've worked on for the last couple of years. And so we know if we focus on that, then we would naturally get some sort of growth going into the project.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've noticed when we are trying to meet deadlines in the rehearsal space, like sometimes in our group, we've got such a great group. The cast, we all love each other. We've got great team leaders. You guys literally set the tone. And it's a blessing that you got, the atmosphere that you set. Like, we start the day with hugs, and you make everybody feel seen from the top to the bottom. It's really a special gift that you guys have and that you bring. When we have tensions in the room, how do you guys stay so chill? Where does it come from? It seems easy to you, to me, to watch you guys. I'm like, I know we're on a crunch, and they're so chill.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I think it's just the culture of our families and our dance community that we come from. It's really about the group. It's not really about you, and whatever your role is valuable. And when things get hard, which they will, that's inevitable. You can't be afraid of that, especially if you want to create. There's always going to be things to work through. And when you have multiple people who are all valuable, the first thing is when you feel that tension, you just first look at someone as a human being, as the first thing.
You would think you would start with that.
How that works.
Start there, look at people in the eyes, listen, and then if it's high pressure and time's running out, you have to make a decision. Just make a decision and know that when you're working, you have time somewhere. You'll find time somewhere to make all of the little fixes or do the drafts or understand something that you're building, but you have to understand that you're building something together.
And I think that the both of us were so fortunate to experience being on the stage in front of a camera as well, being in a performance position. And I think through that experience, we've always told ourselves if we would ever be on the other side, that we've been in environments where it wasn't fun to go to work. It was a great product, but it was just a bad experience. And that always tarnishes your sight on a project. And I think you can always, as a leader, I feel like you can always control how the experience is internally. If that doesn't pan out, or if the project doesn't pan out, at least internally, if you've got some good people and you're kind to each other, And also, I think a big credit to our mentor and our coach, who's our strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, who's your mentor?
He really, in the last year and a half, we focused a lot on mindset and brain training and how we respond and how to remain calm during high pressure situations. And that's really what separates a lot of the like iconic great ones, is that they still remain calm, they still remain focused, they still execute no matter what's going on around them, because as humans, we naturally will respond emotionally to things. So you have a choice. You may not have a choice of what happens to you at the day. We may have a bad day or a good day, but you do have a choice with how you respond to it.
Wow.
So that's what we try. It's not always perfect,
no.
But we try to understand that if we're just adding, you know, more negative energy to the room, that's not going to help anybody.
Yeah. Anybody?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You guys can give a master class to a lot of other people. That would be okay. Can we talk about your work ethic? Okay. Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Y'all, we've been at this show and it felt like days. Like, it took days, like just an itty bitty ton of days. And then after we had a show, like a shell of a show, they're like, all right, now let's add more choreography. Let's clean it. Like, where's that come from? It's like we were pushing ahead of the game and it never stopped. That momentum never stopped. Well, you just eat, breathe. This is just
like, is it? I think our upbringing in terms of like how our career is panned out. Like we both come from situations where the whole YouTube thing happened, and then it was just we created things for ourselves, and we're so used to wearing multiple hats and just putting our foot down and like, hey, let's just do whatever it takes to get there, because we never know. I mean, we are always so focused on providing for family and stuff like that. But I think one thing that we've taken up that's been really important to us is like having a sense of purpose. Like, what's your purpose when you go to work, when you're trying to make a project, having a purpose for that particular project and an overall purpose for yourself, for your life. And I think that's what drives you to enjoy the process and not just strive to get to a destination and turn off, but it's like a constant, like just a growth oriented mindset instead of a goal oriented mindset, just trying to continue to get better.
Pause. Growth oriented mindset versus a goal oriented mindset.
Yeah.
I love that. How often do you check in with yourself? Because I'm like, January 1st, I'm like, oh, I'm there. I got it. What about the rest of the year?
Yeah.
All the time. What's nice too about working together is that we have the other person to be able to process things every day, to be able to talk about ideas, talk about vent.
Yeah.
You just need to vent emotional things or understand what's going on. And we have another person there who knows us. He knows me so well. So the minute something comes out of my mouth a certain way, he'll know what kind of state of mind I'm in, and he'll be able to be there as a support to understand how to. So in a way, we check in with ourselves and each other along the way. And we know that when it's like in season, like game time, it's like we have that kind of mentality when we go into projects like this or into work. And then we have rest. We have off season when we're home and we...
Come on!
That's the thing. So
game time,
yeah.
Off season. Okay, can we like talk about the real stuff? How did you guys meet?
Oh, yeah.
What is the story?
There's a long story, but the short story is dance. We met through dance, which is part of the same.
Did you see each other across the crowded room and be like, oh, his moves?
Yeah.
We're like,
what's funny is that we met each other at a dance workshop. We were both teaching at it, and there's a context before going into that dance workshop is that we were both on call for this job. At the time, it was a month teaching gig over in Norway.
And
which is,
was something that neither of us had done before.
Yeah.
So it was just,
and it was pretty unheard of in our
beginning of our careers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't even think dance would be a career.
Yeah.
One of those kind of.
Back?
Things.
How far back was this?
2008, I think.
Was
8
it?
Or 9. And so we were both on call for the job. We didn't know each other, had heard of each other through just natural community things. And then I think the organizer at least told me, like, okay, whoever calls back first is going to basically get the job. So I literally hung up, didn't even get my ducks in a row, and then I just called right back. Oh. I'm going to do, I just really, this sounds amazing. Like, I've never traveled outside the country, and this is unheard of for dancers that aren't on tour. So I just called back and said yes. And so.
And he got a phone call from somebody who was already in Norway that he knew. And I got an email for the same thing. Oh, I need somebody for a month. And so I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Okay.
She was responsible and decided to
make sure
calls,
that I could like leave
could
my
it.
Job. Boo. And
where were you working?
I don't even remember. I think either I was either a waitress at a restaurant or I was working at a shoe store. I
have chills.
Just some.
I'm like, just fast forward to the iconic.
Yeah, and I was my sophomore year of college, and I was in the middle of it, and I didn't even figure out how. Like, I just.
Yeah, you just said yes.
I just said yes.
So I was responsible, and I took the day to make sure I could leave all of my responsibilities, and then I did. And I wrote back, once in a lifetime opportunity. That's what I thought. I was like, okay, I can do this. This is amazing. And then I got an email back like maybe 30 minutes later. I'm so sorry. Keone already got back to me, but I'll bring you out in May.
No.
For like a week. And I was like, what?
But I just.
So that.
And I said, who's Keone? I said, who's this Keone?
Well, because she thought I was a woman. They don't mind. But so take that context going into our first meeting. So. I'm thinking, oh crap, like.
And this is after he had gone to Norway.
Yeah, so.
So that happened, like you
yeah,
straight up
happened.
Did not meet up there.
No.
This
was
after
this
Norway.
After, so
and
he can't come back to the States, meet me at this workshop, like really shortly after, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go up to my game here, and then introduce myself, and she just gave me the coldest handshake. The
was not expecting this
look, and I was like, geez. So I thought that was that. But shortly after that, I did realize that she was in the back of my class taking my class in dance world. That means something if teachers taking another
respect.
Teacher's class. So I was like, okay,
well, get my muscles up.
But and then from there, it ended up being that. I was teaching a junior team at the time, or directing a junior team at the time, and they vote on a teacher to come out and give them a piece of choreography, and they actually voted on Mari. And so from there, that's the line of communication opened. I reached out to her through MySpace. This is how long ago it was.
Through
MySpace. And then it went eventually graduated to email, and then to text, and then to phone call.
How long have you guys been together now, then?
Oh.
It would be 13... going on 14 years, I think.
Yeah.
And we've
and our wedding anniversary will be
June
next year.
So
yeah.
Almost 10 years married, which
yeah,
is pretty wild.
And you've got this beautiful baby girl who's like not a baby anymore. Like we're watching her grow up.
You guys
up.
Are watching her grow up.
How are you guys balancing? Because you've got sick careers. How do you guys balance having your career, working with each other, and having a family?
We're figuring it out.
Like, I'm asking because, like, I would like to do that one day. I'm like, is it possible?
But it is, I think, with at least what we've just tell each other, like, we're going to figure it out. Like, we're going to adapt. And she's growing. She's different every month.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever routine or thing that we think we have in place is going to change because she's going to be different. Her needs are going to be different. Yeah, we just go day by day. And there's really no... It's from what I hear, at least from other parents that are in the creative realm, that it's always hard when you try to find that balance, that those boundaries for yourself as a parent and say, hey, like, I need to stop working by this point so I can give time to my child. If you have those choices, at least if you can show up at work and really hunker down and show through with your work. But that's at least how we've viewed it up until this point, and I know it'll change, but
yeah,
it's always hard.
I think that's why a lot of the stuff that our mentor Mia talks to us about, besides just like taking care of ourselves physically, taking care of ourselves mentally, just because you have to replenish yourself to be able to give your energy not just to your work but to your child. Like, when she'll wait for us, she's on show schedule when we're on show schedule, so she'll wait for us to come home, even if it's 11 at night, and she wants to play for another hour or 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So
2 or 3 more hours. That's literally...
She just, because she needs that.
I love that she's on the show schedule.
She is, and she sleeps in.
Yeah, she's on show schedule.
But we have to make sure we take care of ourselves so that when we come home at the end of the day, even if we feel exhausted, this is my quality time with my child, and it's so precious, and I have to protect.
Like, we would literally have workout sessions where our coach would talk about that. We would bring our daughter with us sometimes, and just to be used to that environment of working and still having energy for your child. I think that's what we've been training for, and I feel like it's been paying off. What we've been noticing is paid off a lot in this last few months, because it's been an insane few months, which I don't know if I ever want to do that again. I think we've been off more than we can chew.
It was a lot. It was three shows in 3 months.
It's way too much.
I totally forgot to even mention Beyond Babel. Like, they're off Broadway show. That is so awesome too.
Yeah.
It was cool to see you guys in it. Sorry, that's a tangent, but yeah. What is it like? Okay, first of all, what is your racial makeup, both of you?
I am half white and half Filipino.
Okay.
And I am a little more than half Filipino, and I have also Hawaiian and Italian and Chinese and Portuguese and other random things in me that my mom's a mutt. She's a mix. My dad's full Filipino. Yeah.
So to me, like, as a person of color, like, having leaders who are also POC, that means a lot to me. Yeah, you don't even have to be black for it to mean a lot to me. Like, I think it's a very big deal to me. What is it, do you guys feel like that is a thing? How do you feel about representing people, your cultures behind the table? Like, not being on the stage, but being on the creative team, being in the leadership. What does that mean to you?
It means so much. It means so much to be able to have a seat at the table like that.
A seat at the table.
And to make sure that I'm paying attention to the perspective that I have that may be different than the other people that are at the table with me, and that it's important for me to speak up when I feel something in my gut, because the things I feel in my gut may be different than what's usually there. And it's not always easy. I don't always, to be honest, that I feel like I'm still figuring that out, how to navigate that and how to assert that, because I'm not a naturally assertive person.
I totally feel that. Like,
so,
I'm like that too.
So figuring out how I can still be assertive in those ways while still being myself. And it's just these little, you feel a little thing in your gut and you're like, oh no, this is...
I need to say something. I need to do something.
Yes. And that's important as a woman. That's important as a person of color. And I'm half... Also, I understand that is a different experience and comes with privilege, but man, if I have it, I'm going to use it.
Hello! Come on!
I'm going to use it. And we had a lot of time over the pandemic we really connected to our Filipino heritage and really started asking our family questions about their stories. And it was a really important thing to do, I think, coming into this job to understand where I come from and the kinds of people that I can open doors for, and that I need to do that. It's not just for Filipino people, it's for people of color in general, because
our whole cast is very diverse.
And it makes me so...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. And it should be like that. And it should be like that, not just on stage or in front of a camera. It should also be like that
behind the table.
I feel that when I feel empowered, when I see women in leadership, when I see women of color in leadership.
Me too!
That makes me feel confident and just like, and fired up and just, yes, like, this is...
I'm like, hand this woman the god mic, like, let's go! Like, I totally agree with you. How do you feel?
Absolutely. There is an absolute pride and 100% awareness of the opportunity, the responsibility, and the representation that we have by being in that seat. And I think we also see it as, we want to make sure that we're also just representing it, not just as in terms of by being there, but by being excellent in the scene. I think that's what's equally as important, is that we've demanded these opportunities, these rights, and a voice. And now we're there. What are we going to do with it?
Right.
And so we've been trying to be just very empathetic towards everybody while being in a seat as a person of color, but also, like Mari said, just learning when to put our foot down when we feel something in our gut that maybe someone else doesn't feel because they don't relate to that. And I didn't realize, like, I know we come from different communities and we work in different industries, so I've seen more industries more diverse behind the table, and this particular industry has been unique because I didn't realize a certain lack of diversity behind the table until we like went to meetings or places and we're like, oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And like also not just that, but being like some of the youngest people by far.
Right.
You know, and that's that part of the room. So
you're exactly what this industry needs.
No, and then,
just a fresh breath of everything.
We appreciate that. And we appreciate the opportunity for to be given the opportunity too. I know one thing that makes me so happy about this project is that this project has been forward thinking before people were trying to be forward thinking. Not to say that we did it first, but like that, I'm just happy that this project wasn't a response to something, but wasn't trying to fill the void before it became a concern for most people.
Yeah.
I know it's been a concern for a long time, but
I totally feel that even before the pandemic, like a lot happened, but even like the hair design of our show, of like some characters, I don't want to give anything away, but it's bomb. It was woke before, like, it was even a part of the national stage. You guys are getting ready to do Karate Kid as well.
Yes.
So wait, time out. What happens if you guys keep getting these Broadway offers? What world are you, what do you like the best? What if you're full-blown Broadway directors forever? Is this, how are you have an embarrassment of riches? Nope.
We're very blessed.
Like, you guys are like, it is what it is.
And honestly, after just doing a couple, not even a full round of a couple, it's, let's breathe for a second. We also have some aspirations in film that we know we want to chase, and so we're trying to find that balance, and we feel very fortunate that we can even select. But at some point, that there it does come to that point, and it becomes about projects that we feel really passionate about, which is what we've always been part of in our career. That, yeah, we've said yes to projects to learn, but we've also been like, what is the heart of that project, and how does our heart align with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, if our hearts aren't aligned on that, then it's gonna not be a project that we're happy about.
And it just probably is meant for someone else.
Meant for someone else's heart.
That's an interesting point about like selecting, because I'm like, once the Broadway world like gets a hold of you guys, you're gonna get so many more. It would be easy to get lost in it, but you have so many different like talents of things that you can do. So I'm just I'm excited for you guys. Okay, so we're about to end. I've got a little like rapid fire moment.
Oh yeah.
Oh
Lightning
God!
Round.
Stage management has texted me.
Oh shoot!
Dear God. Okay, all right, today, a lightning round. Okay, East Coast or West Coast?
West Coast.
You say West Coast, too?
We're from it, I gotta say.
San Diego.
The best coast.
San Diego.
Come on.
San Diego is really nice. Okay, choreographing or taking class?
Choreographing.
Choreographing, yeah.
Being in the show or shaping the show?
Last year, I might have said being in the show, but I think I would say shaping the show.
Mm. Yeah, I think I can fulfill my performer. It takes less to fulfill my performer now, so I agree. Yeah.
Mm.
We're shifting.
Yeah.
Do you read reviews?
Not like a psychopath, but I think that feedback is helpful.
Okay.
In early stages, that's super helpful. But at a certain point, when you feel like you've done everything, this is what I'm proud about, then it kind of turns off. It has to.
I like that's good. Constructive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Constructive. Favorite dance movie?
Ooh! It's really hard to say. We just watched West Side Story.
That was
awesome! With Flo in it.
So incredible. West Side Story is one of our favorites.
Classic.
You know, all the Gene Kelly, like Singing in the Rain, of course.
I think An American in Paris is, that's one that I grew up with. Yeah.
I'm just going to say, it's hard to pick one. I can't. I absolutely can't. But I'm just going to say that whole Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, that era.
They were like, step up! They're
oh my God.
I love that. Yeah. Favorite Britney song?
Oh, it's hard to pick, but I do love Lucky. It's such a tragic song.
It's great. I love
our show, too.
Yeah, I actually do love Lucky as well. Like, I don't know. I've always felt, oh, she's saying something there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right?
And a call. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Favorite, I won't say in our show, favorite princess, period.
When I was little, Little Mermaid was my favorite. And then when I got a little bit older, when Mulan came out, that was a huge deal because she was Asian and also because she was a warrior. And so I was like, oh, you can be Asian and a warrior and you can pretty much be a princess and the lead of a Disney movie?
Huh.
Sick.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's not a princess at all, but Aladdin. That's my honest childhood. That's what I dreamed of being. It was Aladdin. As a little boy, yeah.
Love that. Okay, we're almost done. Okay, small dance teams or large dance teams?
Oh, we grew up with big dance teams with, what, like 30 people, and it's just amazing the things you can do with 30 bodies.
Yeah, we'll say big dance teams.
Okay, and the last one is a trick question. I was going to say Karate Kid one more time, but there is a right and a wrong answer.
We're not allowed to choose, Felicia.
Oh,
show favorites.
Between your children.
We
love our children.
My gosh. You guys, I love you so much. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us. I love you so much.
How can people find you?
Oh.
If they haven't already found you.
You can't find us because we'll be hiding in our home after this. but no, on our Instagrams is probably where we're the most active because we're not that very active on social media. Otherwise, so Keone Madrid or _ Amari Madrid.
It's _ first.
I think, I'm pretty sure it is. If I'm wrong, then you'll
find
someone else.
It's either before or after the Amari Madrid.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll pop up quickly. So,
Or just on our website, keoneamari.com is probably the safest way to be introduced to our work. So.
Yeah.
Or just probably Google
just
it.
Google.
A million things will pop up. You guys, thank you for joining me today. I love you so much. Till next week. See you later, alligator.
That wraps another episode. Thanks for listening to The Salacia Show. See you next week, and don't be shy. If you love the show, please tell me why. Please rate, subscribe, and leave a review. Go one step further, tell a friend or two. Check out my site if you think it was the bomb. Pay a visit to SalaciaThomas.com. One last thing before I relax. Shout out Josh Carey, and thanks, Podmax.
I'm out.
7 Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.